Amen. Let me just say thank you again for the invitation opportunity of being with you over this harvest weekend. As Colin said, it seemed I was no sooner home than I had to come back again. I think by the time we got home last night, after the night of praise and thanksgiving, and then when I got home, my wife was away partying. By the time I got her sobered up when she came home. But it was a good night. We enjoyed the fellowship and enjoyed the presence of the Lord, which is the main thing, because you can have a crowd of people and not be conscious of the Lord's presence. And it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And it is good to be with you this morning. If you have your Bible, I want to read some verses from the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Now that name Ruth is something special, because that's what you call my wife, Ruth. I was in one country, and in the house I was staying, the man was going about the house and he was calling his wife all sorts of names, called her darling, honey, sweetheart. And I'm sort of looking around, and then he says, sweetie. And I thought to myself, if I went home and said to my wife, how are you, sweetie? She'd say, you back in the drink. So Ruth, we're in the book of Ruth this morning, and we're reading at the first verse of the first chapter. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And go further down the chapter, just break into the reading at verse number 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And they said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And we land the reading there at verse 22. We know God will bless the reading of his inspired, infallible word. I'm sure that we have no need to say in a congregation like this morning that the book of Ruth is one of only two books in the Bible bearing the names of women. We know that there is a third book, and while it doesn't bear the name of a woman, it is addressed to an elect lady and her children. But what's interesting about the two books that bear the name of woman, Ruth and Esther, Esther gives us the preservation of the nation of Israel, while Ruth gives us the lineage of the Lord Jesus. Had we not got Ruth in the Bible, we would have difficulty tracing the lineage of Jesus Christ. As we open the book this morning, it's a wonderful chapter. I'm only going to say a few things about the chapter this morning. And usually, if I say I'm only going to say two things, some of our kids would shout out, amen. Because sometimes you can go on to seven things. But I just want to, when you open this first chapter of the book of Ruth, there are two things that are set out very clearly in the chapter. It opens up with the road to ruination, and it finishes with the road to restoration. So it starts off one direction, going down the road to ruination, and it concludes on the road to restoration. One of the things that I've noticed going about more and more now in these days is that there are so many people who seem to have lost the joy of the Lord. You know, their attitude seems to be, well, I'm saved, I've got a passport for heaven, but they're not really enjoying the Lord. And it's this aspect that has touched my heart. The number of people, especially in Northern Ireland, with whom you come in contact, who will tell you, at some time or other, I used to walk with the Lord. I mean, as most of you know, I'm from the city, so harvesting is not much to me. I didn't know much about harvesting. I didn't know much about farming. Knew a lot about fighting, but not much about farming. And in fact, I said one day my wife was going out and there was a part of the garden at the back, and she said, I really would need that dug over. And she was out, and I thought, I'm going to get brownie points. I'm going to dig it when she's out. And sure I did. I dug it and turned it over, and when she came back, I was all full. Talk about pride bringing you down. And I said, look at that. She says, where's the plants? I says, what plants? She says, the plants that were in the ground. I says, you said dig it, so I dug it. Everything. Now, man, that's a little secret for nothing. She never asked me to dig the garden again. Never did. But I want you to see the road to ruination this morning. You know, they're underlying a few things in the opening verses. First of all, he speaks about the famine. There was a famine in the land. And it's interesting when you take the word of God and go through different times when there's a famine in the land, how people react to the famine in the land. The reason for famine was given in the book of Deuteronomy. In chapter 11, verses 10 through 17, the Lord had promised Israel a land flowing with milk and honey. But in the same verses in Deuteronomy, God reminds them that if there is a turning away from the Lord, then the Lord says the heavens would be shut up and famine would follow. Obviously, when you open this chapter and open this book, that the people had done evil in the sight of the Lord, and God sent a chastisement by way of famine. Not only do you see the famine is a result given in Scripture of the departure of the people or the sin among the people, but we're given the name of the family. Now, the family today is an important thing. Very important. And when you take the family, we discover some interesting things about this family. You know, names would always be given in the Old Testament that had a meaning. Had a meaning. I remember once when I was in Eastern Europe that the pastor said to me, "That girl there, do you know what her name means?" I says, "No." He says, "It means dog." I says, "I'm sure she's a queer bark." Dog. And when you take the meaning of the names, in the chapter before us this morning, the father's name is Elimelech. And the name means God is king. Our God is my king. His wife's name is Naomi, meaning my beloved, our pleasant one. So you have the father who says, God is my king. You have the mother who is pleasant and beloved. When you come to Malan, it means sickly or illness. When you come to Chilean, it means pining or wasting away. So you can get a picture in your mind of this family. We are told that they lived in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means house of bread. Judah means praise. So here we have a family who acknowledge God is my king, whose wife is so pleasant, who are living in the home, the Bethlehem, the house of bread, and sing the praises of God. And when we come to this chapter, we discover that the family who profess God as king takes a family from the house of bread and the house of praise, and he takes his family down into the land of Moab. Moab, the land that was born out of the sin committed by Lot's daughters when they made their father drunk and lay with him. Moab, the country that was totally given to idolatry. Moving from the house of bread to the house under the wrath and judgment of God, it had a detrimental effect on the family. What a detrimental effect it had. Elimelech died. The two sons died. And yet what could parents say? It was them who took them to the land of the curse. The land of the curse. You see, as believing parents, we have an awesome responsibility in the direction we give to our children. So important. Listen to me this morning. I talk from my heart. I've had 4 children of my own. I've 11 grandchildren. Makes you want to leave the country at Christmas. But I say this. Your children take in more than you think. What you do in the home, your children watch. What you say in the home, your children hear. And the example you give your children in the home can have a detrimental effect on their lives. You may profess, but the real truth is this: we have got to live the life, firstly, in the home, so that the children will see the home. Do you know what made the greatest impression on my life? For many years, I lived as a prodigal son. The thing that made the impression on my home was going in late at night into that little house on the Shankill Road and seeing my mother and father sitting around the far side with a Bible open, reading, praying. That had such a tremendous effect on my life. I saw their commitment, and it had an effect on my life. You see, your children watch, see, and hear. One of my sons, who's not married, he's available for any young ladies this morning, trying to get rid of him. But he loves arguing with the grandchildren. His grandchildren love arguing with him. And he was arguing one day with one of my grandchildren. He was just 6 years old, the grandson. And then eventually, in the middle of the argument, he turned around and he said to my grandson, "Listen, I know everything." We fella looked at him and he says, "Uncle Mark, you don't know everything." And Uncle Mark come back and he says, "But I do know everything." And back came the grandson, "But you don't know everything." And so my son just got up and he says, "What do I not know?" 6-year-old, he says, "You don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back." Now the point of it is this: he was only 6-year-old. How did he hear that truth? That truth had registered in his mind, registered in his mind. The importance, listen, the importance of bringing your children under the sound of the gospel on a Sunday evening is important. Because while they may wander and go astray, the word of God being implanted in their hearts and knowing that the Spirit of God is not restricted to the gospel meeting, the Spirit of God can reach them anywhere at any time and use the seed that has been planted and bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. So here's a family who walked with the Lord, professed the Lord, but somehow or other they have wandered from the Lord. Could that be you this morning? Could it be? Could you be the person that's lost your way, lost your joy? Could it be that the Lord has laid this in my heart for you this morning? A godly family gathered the children up and took them into the land of Moab with detrimental effect. There was a failure, because when they left the house of bread, the land for the land of the curse, they didn't intend to stay there. If you read, they only went to sojourn. They didn't intend to stay there, but they did. That sojourn cost a tremendous price. What a cost. And so often we can get caught like this. We don't intend to stay there. You know, when you miss a meeting for the first time, you sort of feel a bit guilty. When you miss it for the second time, you don't feel just as guilty. And when you miss it for the third time, you feel even less guilty. And then you discover after a week or two that you can miss it without even disturbing you. You see the importance of this. Can I say this from my heart? Sometimes as parents, we are more interested in seeing our children being successful in the world, and there's nothing wrong with them being successful. But my priority is for my children, first of all, to see them on the road to glory. I would rather take my children to glory with me than lose them because I grew cold in my heart and there's no example from me. You see, they start down the road of ruination, and that can lead to a disastrous end. I told you this before, but I think it illustrates this point this morning. When we were just going together, not long after I was saved, my wife lived on the Donegal Road off Sandy Row. I lived on the Shankill Road. And when you came to an age in those areas, you didn't get a driving license for a car. If you missed a bus, you had to walk at home. And I had to walk at home on more than one night. And when you're walking home at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're saying to yourself, is it worth it? But for me to walk home from where she lived to where I lived, I had to go down Roden Street, cross the Gravener Road, cross the Falls Road, up over the Clonard and onto the Shankill Road. And during the trouble, if you're walking home at 1 o'clock in the morning and you're going across the Gravener Road and the Falls Road and you're walking up the Clonard and these feet come behind you, and then this man starts to walk alongside you, and the first question he asks you is, where are you from? Well, if you're at the Clonard at 1 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to tell him you're going to the Shankill. Sure. So I says, where are you from? He says, nowhere. I says, what do you mean nowhere? I says, I sleep just on maybe a bench in the park or at the front of a shop, if there's a hallway in the shop. So I sleep. I started to witness to him. And his response was, his son, you don't need to speak to me about Jesus Christ. I know all about Jesus Christ. I played the organ in the evangelical church. And one night, I was invited to a social event, and I was given a social drink. And this is what it has done to me. This is what it has done to me. So don't talk to me about social drinking. I could see it. And I said to him, would you not come to a meeting with me? He says, I will. I says, I'll meet you tomorrow night at the corner of Tannen Street, you know where the stadium picture house is, give him all the detail. Now, I have to be honest, my faith was weak. I didn't expect he would turn up, but he did. And when he turned up, he was the most holy man I'd ever seen. He had holes in his coat, holes in his trousers, holes in his shoes. And the pair of us came into the meeting, and I discovered a second truth. And the second truth was this. If you want to get the congregation to sit at the front, bring an alcoholic into the back. The two of us were sitting in the back like two lepers. Nobody wanted to sit beside the pair of us. But I was glad I brought him. About four, six weeks after that, he was blown up in a bomb explosion in Belfast. One step away from the Lord led him so far. One social drink brought him down into the gutter. Down into the gutter. And when we sit down to think, here's a family who leave the house of bread and the house of praise, and they go to the land of the curse, and the husband's gone and the boys are gone. What a situation you find here. Let me say just very briefly, the road to restoration. You see, if you read the chapter, you'll see that there was communication. She heard. There is a message that comes saying the Lord has visited his people. And when she heard that message, it was like a divine voice awaking her out of her sleep. The Lord has visited his people. The importance of hearing the word of God. Because the word of God is like a two-edged sword that pierces right into the heart and sunder of the soul. She heard. And the importance of people hearing the word. We live in a changing age. So many things have changed within the church of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, so many have changed even the message of the gospel. And it is possible sometimes to slip in to a so-called evangelistic meeting and you can leave without realizing you're a sinner, because they never talk about sin. Realizing that you need a savior, because they never talk about the cross. And men and women come in and they go out. And it's important that we give them the truth of the word of God. Because the word of God can penetrate deep into the heart. And she hears God is visiting the house of bread. And it creates within her soul a desire to get back to the house of bread. All our responsibility is to preach and plant the word in their heart, because the Spirit of God can do wondrous things when the seed is planted in the soul. Can do that. She heard. Not only did she hear, but she heard there was a visitation. The Lord had visited his people. Again, like the prodigal son in the far country. He sits down and he begins to think, what am I doing at the swine troughs of the world? When even the very servants in my father's house have bread enough and to spare. What am I doing here? What am I doing in this far country when God has visited his people? When God's people are rising up to praise the name of the Lord, what am I doing here? The joy is gone. The family is gone. And God, in love and mercy and grace, is trying to draw you back. Bring you back to the place where he can bless you. Bring you back to the place where he can use you. You never know what God can do through the word that's preached. If only we would respond to what God wants to do. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be a people that praise the name of the Lord. Once when I was in South Africa and preaching in Johannesburg, we were out in the open air after the service, and this girl ran up to me and she threw her arms around me and she says, I've been praying for 4 years that God would send you back. And I said, who are you? I don't know who she was. She says, I've been praying for 4 years that God would send you back. She says, can I take you out for lunch? I want to tell you what happened. I said, sure, we'll go for lunch. If you're buying, I'm going. And we ordered at the restaurant, and she was sitting talking and I was sitting eating. She told me a remarkable story. She says, I emigrated from Liverpool 14 years ago. And I was homesick. And I saw this sign outside the church, come and hear an Irish evangelist. And I said to my husband as we were walking up the street, oh, I would just love to hear an Irish accent. Because Liverpool being so near to Northern Ireland, her being homesick, she says, I would just love to hear the Irish accent. And her husband said, we can't go there. We don't know what happens there. We don't even believe there's a God. What would we want to go there for? And she says, I pleaded with him, just take me and let me hear the accent. She said, unknown to me. She said, the two of us slipped into the back of the hall, not knowing what happened in there. And God got a grip of our lives through the word. And she says that both of us were saved. And for 4 years, I've asked the Lord to send you back here till I tell you what happened. The word planted in the heart, prayed over, can bring the spirit's conviction into the soul and bring them through for Jesus Christ. Coming back, they came back at the beginning of the barley harvest. You may be here this morning, and if you're honest with yourself and honest before God, maybe you've grown cold. Maybe you've let things slip. Maybe you've drifted from where you used to be, and God wants to bring you back this morning. He wants to bring you into blessing this morning. He wants to bless you abundantly this morning. And he's calling you back. I had a remarkable experience over my life. I'd love to write a book on things that God has done remarkable over the years. I was preaching once in the book of Ruth, and a different section of preaching about the harvest. 2 months later, I was at a conference, and this girl came up. She says, oh, I was just going to write to you. I said, why? She said, I was at the service where you were speaking about Ruth, and you were speaking about the harvest, and you were speaking about the backslider. She says, my name is Ruth. I was a backslider. And I was sitting in the meeting when you spoke about Ruth and Naomi coming back. And she says, I came back to the Lord. I was going to write and tell you what happened, because God had been speaking. The road to ruination, it starts off so simply. The one step leads to the second step. And the second leads to the third. And before you know it, your heart has grown completely cold. And God wants to bring you back to where you should be and where you ought to be, so that he can use you for his eternal glory. The right time, coming to the right place. Don't be like the children of Israel who sat by the rivers of Babylon weeping as they remembered Zion. You can remember the good times. You can remember the blessed times. You can remember the visitation of the Lord during those times. Why not come back to where you ought to be, in the presence of the Lord, in the service of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord? Let's bow together in prayer.